hour two of the show here on your Monday. Good to have you with us today, Matt and Patrick. Michael Broadcorp, of course, is and he's our Viking specialist. Well, let me get this out of the way first here. You feeling good about the rest of the draft? We had him on the air on Friday to talk about the first round of the draft. You feeling good about the rest of the draft that happened for the Vikings?
I'm ecstatic. Everything's coming up Vikings. This could be the year, Matt. This could be the year.
You and I, should we try to get media credentials?
Yes. Absolutely we should.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'll talk to you off there about that, all right, man? All right, so we usually have had him on over the last few months to talk about the Viking stuff, but of course we also have him on the air to talk not only about his great book, but as well he also covers politics from the right side of the aisle here in the state of Minnesota, and as he has been talking about with Nicole Mitchell, he's been covering it too, and also saying that, you know, what is she doing there if this is what she's been accused of. Senator Nicole Mitchell returned to votes today. You were pointing this out that, you know, this is something that the Republicans have tried to basically, you know, get her thrown out of the Senate or get her, I don't know what, get her thrown out of the Senate. They want her gone. But yet they still, with the 31-vote majority, the one-vote majority for the Democrats, that's not been able to happen yet.
Correct. I mean, my position, Matt, is this, is that I think that the Senate could accomplish both things. I think that, let's just be clear, because of the partisan makeup of the legislature, the Senate DFL majority controls the schedule, they control the calendar. The situation with Senator Mitchell has been going on for close to a week now. And so in this kind of tight time schedule, what they could have done is once the ethics complaint was filed, they could have had a hearing on it. They could have had provided opportunity for Senator Mitchell to speak in that ethics committee hearing. And that, I think, could have alleviated some of the tension and drama that was on the floor today. I think that it is just, it defies logic that the votes are going to continue until the ethics committee meets. And I guess I would just say, kind of putting on my partisan hat, but I don't think it's that much of a partisan hat right now, to say that both things could be occurring, that the institution of the Senate could be holding and affording Senator Mitchell due process and allowing her the ability to speak in front of the ethics committee and to resolve that matter before she votes on the floor of the Minnesota Senate. I think that's a pretty reasonable position.
Let's actually, if you don't mind, let's put the politics aside for a second. I think both of us, I have called for her to step down. Now, obviously, there is the question of what happened up in Detroit Lakes. But I look at this as and you know this. You know people like this too, man, who are gone through similar things where someone dies and all of a sudden that close-knit family dissolves and it becomes this horrible situation. And there's he said, she said, and people have resentment and regrets. This is something that common that's happened. And regardless of what happened in Detroit Lakes, clearly, she is having some problems dealing with what's going on in her private life right now. And I think she might need to step aside and deal with those things and this would go to any job. You need to go deal with this stuff and get your life, back on a better path and then come back. That is my mentality about that. You've known people who have gone through, families dissolving like this. I imagine there's multiple. Every one of us has known someone like this.
Yes, and Craig, legislators are human beings,
yes.
And I am not in any way, Matt. And I think you know my record over the last 10-plus years. I'm not one to pile on these types of personal issues related to someone's life on this type of stuff, but this is an issue, I think, that directly impacts the legislative process. And I think the opportunity that exists here is to afford and to give Senator Mitchell, if she chooses to stay in the institution of the Senate, an opportunity to clear her name, to participate in an ethics committee process, that affords her all of the due process that she's allowed and done. What I think the mistake here is that they're putting the votes before the ethics committee process has happened. And let me just be very clear with your listeners. There was a Republican elected official who was in a similar situation. I would be saying the exact same thing. And those who have kind of followed my analysis over the years have known that I'm not one to pull punches when it comes to a Republican elected official. And so I think the reasonable thing here would be that the ethics committee could give her an opportunity to clear her name and have some discussion. Have there be a discussion on the inconsistencies of the public statement that she made and some of the court paperwork that's been filed under penalty of perjury. Those are two kind of, those are two contrasting messages right now. And I think I'm not in any way trying to say that Senator Mitchell shouldn't be afforded every opportunity of due process. I want everyone in the court system and in the process of the Minnesota Senate to be afforded a due process. I just think that the Senate Democrats, in this particular instance, are reversing the process. And I think they're reversing that process, unfortunately, because she is the 34th vote. That's my take.
That, yes. And for everyone out there, you know, Michael has been one of the, I mean, he and I don't agree on a lot of political things, but he is also a guy on the right who, you know, he's been very critical of Trump. And that's because that's the first thing that, you know, when people bring this up, it's like, well, how many criminal indictments does Trump have? And overthrowing the government, trying to steal an election, stealing secret documents, you know, the E. Jean Carroll stuff. Doesn't that matter at all? And I mean, there's that level of hypocrisy. But one of the things I will bring back is, you know, I don't know if it matters. I mean, because it is the one vote. That even if, you know, and so far she hasn't put forward any kind of explanation that seems to coincide with what the facts are, what we know from what happened in Detroit Lakes. But even if she did come forward with a solution, that I don't know if necessarily that would change any Republicans' mind, is that they look at this as a kind of a way to basically at least stall the DFL agenda, at least until because November, there's not going to be a special election on this one because the regular session ends too soon. And to my understanding, then it will just be kicked down to November. That's at least the way I understand it. I think that's they're looking at one way. So there is a level to me, which even if she did have some solution, I still don't think a lot of Republicans would care. They want her gone because they want this tie, and then nothing can get done without Republicans on board.
Yes, I think that's a separate issue that I'm certainly not attempting to speak to. I think that in any situation, there's politics. It's a partisan legislature, and there's politics on both sides. I don't think, I think what's going on today on the flip side is that the reason why the process, I think, is being slowed down a bit related to the ethics is to afford Senator Mitchell the opportunity to be that 34th vote. And I think that's the challenge. Yeah. And I think what I understand, you know, you are a Democrat, and in some ways I identify as a Republican, and we maybe approach these things in different ways. But my perspective is just that I think that there's an opportunity, I think, particularly for the Senate DFL leadership, to slow the process, not to slow down the voting on the floor and allow Senator Mitchell to have that opportunity to kind of clear her name and speak. And that's something that I've been calling for, which is, who should be speaking today? Mm. Who should have been speaking today was Senator Mitchell. And she should have spoken up and used the opportunity she has on the floor of the Senate to message to her colleagues and to message to the residents of the state of Minnesota and her legislative district, explaining why, under this cloud of suspicion that's going on here, she should be able to continue. And so that's the release valve, I think, should have been done today. And Matt, I'll put this marker down. If the exact same thing situations happens with a Republican senator or Republican elected official, I'm going to be consistent in my messages. I'm not going to try to find a way to get the Republican out of it. I'm just trying to be consistent here.
Yeah. And I, by the way, I'm with the opposite way as you. I thought, okay, DFL, if you really want to get her done, then fast track all the bills you want to get passed this session. Do it this week. Have her resign before the end of session and be done with it. If you really want to, if this is what your priority is, but don't, you know, kind of don't try to act like go through the rest of the session like nothing happened here, because that's only going to make things worse. Now, I don't know which plan they take, but I will say this, and no, I have zero doubt your consistency, but there's a lot of people that point to the Republicans, and particularly Matt Grossel. Now, I understand House Rep versus Senator, but Grossel had two problems. He had the belligerence in the bar, drunken behavior, belligerence at the hospital. That was one incident. And I believe he had a DUI, I'm not sure the right term, but there was a second incident there. So it was more than just one incident. And yes, they do tolerate, you know, in both the House and the Senate in Minnesota, DUIs, DWIs, and you and I both feel the same way about that. But, you know, there was, Grossel had more going on. And at no point did any Republican talk about the integrity of the legislature. No point anyone said they need to answer our questions and show us why they should still be in this body before we, you know, or be thrown out. I do feel as if there's a lot of people that point towards Grossel particularly and say, okay, where was this standard back when he got into his problems?
I think that's a very fair point. And you know from my track record of speaking out about issues related to drinking and driving that I have little or no patience is that as someone who has pleaded guilty to drinking and driving and have volunteered for it. There have been a number of legislators on both sides that have had issues with that, and they have taken, and I understand that's not an unfair point that you're making. And so I think that to the degree to which people can be consistent and just speak to wanting the process to be better, I think this has I guess I would say it to you this way. I think that I listened to some of the legislative session today, and I got the impression that the Senate Democrats were trying to message in a way as if they didn't have any choice and that they didn't have any options but to allow Senator Mitchell to enter the Senate and vote this way. I would jump that. I think that there's a lot of institutional power that they have right now to afford her the due process that she deserves by also, with affording her an opportunity and the public to learn a bit more about what happened and why her conduct up in Detroit Lakes should not disqualify her from serving in the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, the facts of the case are there, but there's enough evidence there. Like I said, and I've said this, I've called for her to step down because I think she needs to deal with her personal matters. In the same sense as Grossel, you need to deal with your personal matters, dude. Go deal with this stuff. Come back. If you get it all fixed, come on back. No problem. Run again. No one's going to hold you against that. You just got to do that. Talk about the damage. Okay, so the one thing I've kind of said is that I'm hoping that Mitchell has gone to Ken Martin at the DFL and Aaron Murphy, the leader of the Senate, and shown them something that says, you know what, you know, you guys can stick your neck out for me. Here's the deal. Here's what's going on. I'm kind of hoping that, because why don't you weigh in if there isn't anything, if this is as it appears, and once again, day in court, innocent until proven guilty, all that stuff. But, you know, unless that the DFL's got some insurances, how much damage are they doing sticking their neck out for Mitchell at this point?
I think they're spending a lot of political capital. And I'm someone who, I will say that Ken Martin is a party chair who's got a lot of political capital to spend because, you know, he's got a very impressive record. And I think his remarks were measured and reasonable and proportionate. I think that the opportunity that I think exists here is Senator Mitchell's statement versus the criminal complaint. If there was some discussion on that and some reconciliation of those two statements, even in the friendly confines of an ethics complaint, I think most Minnesotans would be receptive to hearing that message. I don't want in any way, shape, or form there to be some kind of, you know, lynch mob or some type of political kind of, you know, targeting or any type of way of this blowing up anymore. I think we Minnesotans, this could be a really good moment for Minnesotans to learn and see how good governance could happen. And if there's an ethics committee process and she's able to provide some clarity and some statements, I think she should be able to vote then. If her colleagues come to the determination through the ethics process that her behavior is not unbecoming and there's a consistent alternative message of what happens that conflicts with what's been filed in the police report, by all means, she should be afforded that opportunity to speak. Mm-hmm. I guess my point is, I think that in some ways, I think the Senate Democrats were showing up today and saying, look, there's really nothing we can do. And I'm going to throw the foul flag on that responsibly, because I think that they, being the majority party, they control both the agenda and the calendar. And so they're in the position to make time to let this get resolved.
That is a very fair point. They could address this if they wanted to. And like I said, I'm consistent. I mean, I call for Grossel to step down. I call for Mitchell to step down. You can't go on out there and just have such a bipolar reaction depending on the R or the D next to their name.
Correct.
And I will say this, of a lot of Democrats I know, it's the Facebook post that has them themselves saying, okay, what's going on here? And the fact that her own post after the fact seemed to, it almost seemed like, okay, you know, if we do have these facts that we do know, this doesn't address any of that, and it, matter of fact, leads to more questions. That the Facebook post was a mistake by Mitchell, if that was some attempt to try to defuse the situation.
Correct. And Matt, to kind of answer your question down, I think the majority leader, Senator Murphy and Chairman Martin, should be given, I think that Senator Mitchell should be candid, direct, and honest with them about the true scope of what's going on. My concern is that, and I'm not trying to, this is a little bit of a conspiracy theory, but I'll try to stay with my lane. My concern is that other people know more. And so the reason why they're kind of taking this kind of, I would call somewhat of a slower process on the ethics complaint, is because if they have a hearing and more details come out, it's not going to look good. And I think the real danger could be to kind of bipartisanship and the ability for folks to work together, is that if it comes out that it's really as bad as they think and they still allowed her to vote, that could be problematic. Again, yeah. part of the reason I want the ethics committee to meet before she votes is because I absolutely believe that there's a possibility that she's innocent and she didn't do what they said and that her Facebook post is absolutely accurate. That's the reason why. And I think that she should be afforded that opportunity and the Senate should give her that. But as with the Republican, if it doesn't turn out that way, she should be held responsible just like Republicans should be if it happens to them too.
Well, and I agree, you're kind of spot on there in the fact that, you know, it's one thing if there is a misunderstanding and you're sharing this. If when Ken Martin or Aaron Murphy is coming to you and saying, what happened here? And they're saying, on advice from lawyers, I can't tell you anything. That should be your big red flag. And then you should have a different agenda because something, you know, the last thing you want to do is be, you know, kind of, you know, hung out to dry like that. I think the one thing Correct. For sure that we both can agree with and everyone can agree with, get a will. Wills clear up a lot of this stuff. And you generally don't have these problems if you have an airtight will. And most of the time when this stuff goes and implodes on a family, it's because there was no will.
Correct. And I think that's a very safe point to make on some legal advice. But I also would say is I think that there were a number of situations where cooler heads could have prevailed in this. And this is also, I would say, independent of whatever Senator Mitchell did or didn't do. Legislators are human beings. They're people. They're infallible. They make mistakes. And if she made mistakes, she should be given as much grace and understanding to deal with that process as any human being on earth. And we should not be wishing anyone ill will just based on partisan reasons. We should all, everyone is kind of, as I say, walking around with an invisible sign that says, I'm dealing with stuff too. And we just should always try to be as helpful as we can to people, even if we disagree with them on their partisanship.
Yeah.
And I do hope that Senator Mitchell and her family, that she gets the privacy that she needs to deal with this. But unfortunately, when you're an elected official, this type of stuff spills out. It's not a good situation. But I just want to say my thoughts and prayers are with her and her family, and I hope that they get through this, because what we're seeing in the public, it's reported in the media on the floor, is probably one sliver of what she's dealing with behind the scenes.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with sort of saying all my best to you. I hope you can get this solved. But then also saying, but you probably need to do this in private. And the longer you're in a public position, the longer you're in a public position, the worse that does look for you. Michael Broadcorp, once again, we'll put a link out to everything there. You got your podcast out there. I'll make sure you can find out about that as well. Michael, I don't know when I'll talk to you next, whether it be a Viking singer or a political thing, but we'll have you on before too long.
Matt, thanks for having me on and for just having a reasonable kind of grounded conversation on this kind of explosive topic. I really appreciate it. Okay?
Nope, no problem, my friend. Michael Broadcorp, kind enough to join us today. We'll take a break. Come on back. I got more on this when I do return. Your phone calls as well, too. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show here on your Monday.